some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We're doing our monthly Super Gay Radio event tonight with Mr. Rob Watson. Of course, Rob, you'll remember and know from his weekly radio show on KSCO 1080 AM out in Santa Cruz. You can hear it out on santacruz.com every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or if you're in the area, just, you know, tune into your AM radio. If you even have an AM radio or a car that has, regular radio nowadays, you got to tune in. Before we bring Rob on, I want to give a shout-out to Carol Ramsey. Carol is a psychic who offers a money-back guarantee. She's going to be joining our show from, I think she's in Naples, Florida, but she's calling from Florida tomorrow night to be our guest at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Friday, we have our Halloween show. It's our fourth Halloween in a row. We've got 2 hours, and we're doing our very own official Top 10 Rated G Radio Halloween countdown. We're going to talk to Rob about that in just a second as well. But for everybody who's listening tonight, or if you're listening Thursday before 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, tomorrow night you can catch me on a video interview on itmattersradio.com. At the half an hour point tonight, you'll hear a very well-produced commercial for It Matters Radio. But we're doing that because we're doing a little co-sponsorship. Well, not sponsorship, but co-branding, co-marketing for the different stations. And It Matters Radio and Rated G Radio are kind of swapping spit, as they say. And I'm promoting them a little bit. They're promoting me. And I think on their Halloween show tomorrow, they're going to name which Sisters Halloween is their number one Halloween song of the year. I think that's what's happening. They haven't told me, but they alluded to, you know, great works of art and things like that. So we're going to see. But they're actually going to be joining me as a guest on Tuesday, November 17th on this show, because both Monica and Ken, who are the hosts of the show, are published authors. And in return, I'm going to go on their show as a guest for the whole show on It Matters Radio on Thursday, December 10th. Now, you know, you're going like, why are you talking about stuff that's 4 and 6 weeks away? Well, I'm doing it because I've got the calendar in front of me. That's why I'm doing it. But now, as we say, without further ado, it's my guest co-host, Mr. Rob Watson. Rob, how are you tonight?
I am great. How are you? We are actually providing a public service here. I hope you know that.
We are. What public service might that be?
We are providing people an out who feel like they should be watching the Republican debate but want an excuse not to. So everybody who's listening live, they have their get-out-of-jail-free card by listening to us.
I will tell you, I saw a really fun – now that you say that, you know – Rob, you want to talk about like current events and stuff that's important in the world, and here I am talking about the Halloween show. And now, I'm going to scroll.
Hey, wait, whoa! Do not diss the Halloween.
We're not going to diss
Halloween. Halloween is important.
We're going to talk at length about Halloween. Actually, well, if I can, this picture that somebody had on Facebook, this is going to be one that I'm going to see like all night long. Oh, I know who did it. It was Russ. No, and Russ, of course, is married to Kurgan Edward Stout, who's been on the show.
Right.
Okay, so my friend Russ posted on Facebook earlier, and it's all the Republican nominees. So I'm going to go one by one down the line. And some of them, you know, it's like, I don't even know who you are. So, you know, I can't even tell you who it is and who we're making fun of. But somebody has a full lineup of all of the Republican nominees. And then, you know, like you do on the NFL Sunday on TV, how you do the lines across and you write across the screen and, you know, you make comments along the way. Well, somebody's done that to all the nominees. And so the first one, I think, is Dennis Kasich out of Ohio. And in the middle of his business suit, because they're all wearing the same color suit, it says, "Who am I?" And then we have Mike Huckabee, and it says, "God told me to run," and then in parentheses, "away." And then you have Jeb Bush, and you have the heartbeat line, and it says DOA. Next is Marco Rubio, and it goes, "I'm in the closet." Or no, I guess it says, "I'm the cutest." It doesn't say "I'm in the closet." It says, "I don't know how to read." Then we have Donald Trump.
You're going to start rumors.
I don't want to start that rumor, that's for sure. Let me pick somebody cute for that one. And then we got Donald Trump that's next, and he's standing there very stoically looking out to the crowd and says, "I am God. You are welcome." And then we've got it's just hysterical. And then who's the we have Carly Ferrari, whatever her name is, says cardboard cutout of her. Then we have another guy that says, "Please deposit another 25 cents. Then we have Chris Christie that says, "I hate Colorado Rocky Mountain High," you know, because he's against marijuana.
Right.
I guess it says because of Carly Fiorina's. It says cardboard cutout, too busy to attend crap debate. So I guess she's not there. And then Rand Paul. Rand Paul's list says, "My legs are asleep." So that's the only. But for Ben Carson, it says, "Perform brain surgery on myself." Oops.
Yeah. I saw a great tweet about Ben Carson. Now we're getting gossipy. But a great tweet on Ben Carson said, if nothing else, Ben Carson has made us rethink the idea that brain surgeons are intelligent. Ben Carson left me at that gay, being gay is a choice because of prison. When he went into that, it was like, oh, no.
What I don't get, you know, and here's such a vast contrast, and I don't know if you and I have talked politics before or not, but, you know, and I don't get to watch the debates because the debates are usually on while I'm doing the show or I'm getting ready for show prep. So I usually see, like, the highlights afterwards. So the train wreck can happen, and then I just go to buy and watch it. But
right.
The Democratic debate, it was very civilized, and people were there, you know, supporting one another indirectly. You know, Bernie Sanders talking about, you know, we're all tired of hearing about the emails. But they were really there talking about issues and things that needed to take place. And the funny thing is with the Republicans, it's all like, he's looking at me and stop touching me. And we're in the third grade. And it's hysterical to hear some
right.
of the sound bites these people come up with afterwards going, okay, numbnuts. This is your chance to, you know, get the American people behind you, and you want to be playing the "he's touching me" game.
Well,
you know?
they're all, I mean, a little bit scary in their own rights, but to be fair, and now I'm going to play Economist with them. To be fair, it is really tough to be anybody with any opinion on a roster of that many candidates. I mean, that is just ridiculous. And I saw another article saying that only six of these people really, quote unquote, deserve to be there. The other nine that are in the, and they're not all in the debate because they don't have enough percentages, but the other nine should just drop out was the point of this article. That the other, there are six real potential contenders that should be up there, Bush, Trump, Fiorina, Carson, Rubio, and Cruz, I think were the six that this person picked out saying they have chops. But to segue, I actually have some scuttlebutt on the Democrats, if you want to swing to the other side.
Well, okay, can I just throw this out here first real quick here, Rob?
Sure.
Because I think what I found so interesting in the last election, because we all thought, oh, Michelle Bachmann, she's going to be the one that just comes out, even though she's got a gay husband, allegedly. And, you know, she has the crazy look, and she looks like she has been abducted by aliens, and all of this other stuff. You know, everybody thought she's going to be like this huge front runner, and then she goes to Iowa and bombs and is immediately out of the race. And then, like, one by one, they just immediately started, like, falling like flies.
Yeah, well, that was actually what was fascinating about the last cycle, because it wasn't just Bachmann, because you're absolutely right, that's what happened, but they each, like, took a turn. It was, like, really weird. Like, first it was Bachmann, then it was Kane. All of a sudden he was, like,
right.
boom, the front runner, and then he tanked, and then Gingrich reared up towards the end. You know, it was like, okay, they're just running around trying to pick anybody but Romney, you know, and then Romney came through at the end. And I think that's what people thought was going to happen here, because I think the presumption was is that Bush is the one that would get it. And he has never surfaced up. The tone of the country is so anti-establishment that, you know, they're going for Trump, they're going for Carson, they're going for Fiorina, you know, these people who have never held an office before. And which is, if you think about it, is actually pretty scary. Because, I mean, these people have to, you know, president isn't just, you know, somebody that gets to, you know, throw out a few business deals. I mean, the president's got to have their, you know, this is the person who's going to have their finger on the atomic bomb button. I mean, they need some chops, you know, of some sort for credibility on this. So that's a little bit nerve-wracking that, you know, the country is so mindless about that. Plus, I will say something about Trump and Fiorina particularly. I have worked directly for CEOs of major companies. And one of the kind of perks of being a CEO of a company is you basically get to be a dictator. And so it makes me nervous to have a business person, a business CEO, and both Fiorina and Trump have the reputation of being that kind of CEO that demands all the perks and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, you know, as president, because, you know, we don't need somebody thinking I'm a dictator in the White House.
Right.
Two cents.
Well, so, I totally agree with you. And can I, and not, I still want to get to your Democrat gossip that we're going to talk about, but who's up for Speaker of the House? What's his name? I should know this.
Paul Ryan.
So what's the deal with Paul Ryan and, you know, being voting against family leave, but says, well, I'm going to need time with my family, so I need to have my time off. Did you catch any of that?
I didn't catch that particularly, but the thing about Paul Ryan is actually the other side is kind of interesting, because, you know, the Democratic or the Republicans in the House are in a state of turmoil right now. They're basically being held hostage by this group of ultra-conservative Republicans that make about 40 seats. And it's why Boehner quit, because he couldn't get the Republican team together. These 40 seats, which are basically swing votes, you know, in anything that they try to do, are demanding that the Republicans go incredibly hard line on issues that are just going to tank the chance of it moving forward. I mean, guarantees a veto, guarantees, you know, just disaster. So they're kind of holding the party hostage. And some of the, you know, as they are kind of leaning towards helping Paul Ryan get in there as speaker, some ultra conservatives have put out this memo or this notice saying, don't vote for Paul Ryan. He is in a gay Trojan horse, meaning he has got this secret pro-gay agenda. Now, Paul Ryan, who has voted on virtually nothing pro-gay in his entire political history, except for one thing, ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act. For some reason, he woke up and rainbow things lit his sky on that bill, which is a good one because it's really the only one that's outstanding that you know is a big one for the LGBT community. But because of that, you know, these guys can't stand gay people so much that they're trying to tank him because of that.
Isn't that funny, though? You know, and we keep seeing week after week after week after week, those who doth protest too much, I think, are living in glass houses.
Right, right. I've actually got something on that in a little bit. I won't cover that right now.
Okay. Let's go back to the Democratic gossip, then. What have you got?
Well, there's something interesting happened. Hillary Clinton, who was on Rachel Maddow, you know, she should be on Rated G Radio, but, you know,
she should.
Rachel, you know, don't know why, but oh well. She, you know, her operatives need to rethink some of their strategy because she is trying to spin you know, to be, so she comes off as being as pro-gay as possible. She's trying to spin a couple of things that her husband did when he was president to the most positive light. Now, one is accurate and one is not. And I kind of know this because I had Barney Frank on my radio show on Santa Cruz on 7 p.m. Saturday nights. And we went through some of this. And Barney Frank at the time was, you know, a major player in the House, worked with the Clintons as all of these things were coming down. And don't ask, don't tell, the Clintons went in to the White House very set to throw out don't ask, don't tell. To throw out anti-gays in the military. And what happened was, because they hit such huge opposition, even within the Democratic Party, they worked out this compromise that was a horrible one, but, you know, they were trying their best, and that was don't ask, don't tell. And so she was right in that when they came up with that, it was because they didn't want to lose everything and keep this outright no gays in the military ban. So it was sort of like the best we could do. So, you know, points to her on that. That was okay. But then she turned and she tried to do the same thing to DOMA. And what happened with DOMA was the Republicans, it was before Clinton's second run for president, and they wanted to back him in a corner. So they were... Hawaii had gay marriage going towards their Supreme Court, and they were, you know, there was this nervousness on the part of conservatives that, you know, ooh, something might turn and there might be somewhere with gay marriage. little did they know. But anyway, what happened then was Congress looked at it as this huge political advantage against Clinton, because if they came out with this DOMA Act, went to Clinton, he was caught between a rock and a hard place, because the country at the time was very much against same-sex marriage. So if he vetoed it going into the next election cycle, first of all, his veto would have meant nothing, because they had this supermajority that would have overridden his veto. It would have made him look weak. You know, he would have looked bad in front of the country, you know, who were kind of anti-gay marriage at the time. And that was his one option. Or he could sign it and insult his base, which were the LGBT people. Well, he decided to do that, to sign it and take his nuts, you know, with us, having signed it. And, you know, he had us over a barrel because, you know, what were we going to do? You know, we weren't going to vote for the other guy, you know, and, you know, he was kind of like, ooh, sorry, we'll, you know, make this better, but I had to do it, you know, kind of thing. So that was what actually happened. So Hillary gets on Rachel Maddow and claims that they signed DOMA because they caught wind that there was this big push for a federal amendment of the Constitution, and they wanted to head that off. And anybody who is awake during that time period knows that simply wasn't true, that there, nobody was thinking that. Nobody was talking about it. It wasn't on the playlist, you know, it just wasn't happening. So it was a really lame attempt to excuse away Bill Clinton's action at that time. And she should have just been upright about it and forthright on it. So Bernie Sanders is, you know, leaping on that with her and, you know, that's not true. And, you know, she's rewriting it, which is true. He's making a good point. But he's patting himself on the back because he was one of the few people in the House of Representatives who voted against DOMA when it went through. So yay for Bernie, except he is changing his narrative. He is trying to make it sound like he was pro-gay marriage, and he wasn't. He just didn't want that amendment, which good for him, but he was all for civil unions at the time, and he wanted the states to have the right to decide whether gay marriage or not, which is the thing about this, the marriage equality cycle, was that the sides kept switching through its evolution. At the very beginning, the most liberal of us, when Vermont was passing their domestic partnerships, were pro-domestic partnership because there was nothing else No one was doing anything positive, and here we had one state that was going to give us some right. And the conservatives were all against that. No, 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 can't do that. You know, horrible thing for Vermont to do that. And the liberals were like, yes, 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 state rights. They have the right to do that. And yay, domestic partnerships are wonderful. Well, then after Massachusetts passed gay marriage, you know, the pendulum started, or the needle started shifting. And all of a sudden, civil unions became the mantra of the right, where they were saying, no, no, don't call it marriage, call it civil unions, separate but equal, we don't want to give away the word. And the liberals were saying, no, no, civil unions are good, separate but not, separate is not equal, we want full marriage, and we don't want it just in one state, we want it nationwide. And so the sides kept shifting, and people who've been around a while, like Bernie Sanders, shifted with them. And that's just the reality. It's not something to fault them on, but now to rewrite history and claim Hillary on one hand that DOMA was a preventative strike and Bernie on the other that no, no, he was for gay marriage at the outset, this is not true. And it just, it hurts both their credibilities. So there's my end of rant.
Well, that's a good rant. You know, and one of the things that I really like about what you bring to the table here is that you have definitely a more in-depth, I want to say definitely an informed, but also a political insight that, you know, quite frankly, I just don't have, and I'm not sure I probably ever would have. So I am amazed, impressed, and always love, hearing what you have to add, because I learn from you. And I think that's one of the reasons I love having you on the show, Rob, to be quite honest. So thank you for that.
Well, no, and you were, you know, you have a lot of affirmation, spiritual, kind of broadening people's perspective outlook, and you go into art and entertainment and everything else, and you know that's kind of the thing that I love that you bring to the various shows we worked on, whether it's my show or your show.
It is now in session, you know, but yes.
Yes, really. Well, I have to give one plug because we are rerunning on Halloween night. If people want to hear the Out in Santa Cruz Halloween show, which was featuring Mr. Garrett Miller, and said top 10 Halloween songs, we are rerunning that Halloween night so they can listen to it through www.outinsantacruz.com at 7 p.m. So
well,
there you go.
Okay.
You are Mr. Halloween.
I'm going to tell you, if you want I mean this with love, if you want the Reader's Digest or Cliff Notes version of the top 10 list for Halloween, you must listen to Out in Santa Cruz this Saturday night at 7 o'clock for that top 10 list, because you're going to get the top 10 list. If you want to get the director's cut with an extra 2 hours of commentary or an extra hour of commentary, you want to listen to the Friday Night Dance Party this Friday on Rated G Radio, because not only – okay, here's the deal. I sent Rob a list of songs I thought would make a good top 10 list, and then Rob went, yeah, that sounds good. So
that's it.
That's kind of what we
well,
did.
Well, now, wait. I am taking credit, and we won't say what song it is, but I am taking credit for selecting the number one hit song on that
well,
list.
Well, and – God bless you for that. So, okay. So, again, our Mutual Admiration Society session is now we're in full meeting. But if you want to hear 2 hours of all of the songs, including, I don't want to say the fill, but there's other songs that just didn't make that top 10, but they could have been song number 11, 11.1, 11.2, 11.3. There's 2 full hours on the Friday Night Dance Party of all Halloween-themed or conceptualized songs, you know, because like one song that's on the list is not a Halloween song at all. It's like Hotel California. But if you listen to the song Hotel California, you know, you get in there, but you never get out. So there's songs
yeah,
like that.
Creepy.
They're a little creepy. And, you know, you hear them and then, you know, you start listening to the words of the song and you're like, what the heck is going on? This is a great Halloween song. So hopefully that is the intent of which, you know, this show comes to you for the fourth year in a row. What, you know, and I went back because I kept going, I think this is the third show, because I know that I've done, you know, this would be like the third, and I went back on all the episodes that are on demand and available for anybody to listen to, and the first Halloween was October 31st, 2012, so it was like 12, 13, 14, 15, so, you know, year number four, here we are, and what a crazy 4 years it's been. So it's, I don't want to call it an anniversary show, but you know, you have these milestone things that happen.
Right.
And you know, because I don't do a Thanksgiving show because nobody listens on Thanksgiving, and I don't do a Christmas show because nobody listens on Christmas, and I don't do it, you know, blah, 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 blah. So really the last big celebratory episode of the year for holidays, you know, because we do a 4th of July, we do a Labor Day, we do a Memorial Day, you know, and they're all dancing, you know, beach music that's fun. So the last big, you know, celebratory thing that we do is going to be the Halloween show. So I'm kind of looking at this as, you know, this year's WrestleMania of Halloween, and that's going to be what you're going to hear this Friday. So
right.
Anyway,
well, they actually should listen to Friday for the complete thing, because actually I want to hear the complete thing, because we only had an hour in Santa Cruz and we did have to short shrift it. But I will say out in Santa Cruz is good because I think we juxtaposed the Halloween theme with the coming out theme, which is kind of unique.
Yes.
So listen to both. The real song, the meat of the song stuff is going to be Friday night.
You have content, though. I just have music. So you have important information that people want to hear about, and you know, it was coming on the heels of National Coming Out Day and all of that. And I think for the first time ever, I said publicly, because I'm not even sure I've ever said it even on Facebook, but I go, I'm gay, and I know that shocks so many people that they just fell out of their chairs. But you know, I guess that's the price you pay when you're burdened of beauty. That's the line that I always use. So I used your show as my
national
platform.
Kind of important because, it's like, you know, I look at my list. You know, I was doing a show on bisexuality, and I looked at my friends list, which is like 700 plus people long, and you know, all these people that I know, and I suddenly realized that I really didn't know who on that list was bisexual. You know, there were people I assumed were gay, and there were people I assumed were straight, and but there are other. There's other coming out there that are relevant. So, you know, you never do know. But you know what?
Know.
We are kind of dancing around something here. And in both our promos,
we've got 2 minutes to dance until we go to break. So what are we dancing on for 2 minutes?
Well, we have an announcement.
I don't you want to save that until after the break? Or are we going to – do we want to do this?
Well, after the break. Definitely after the break.
Because, you know, we got to make sure that they listen to the sponsors for the show, and then, you know, we can, you know, give them all the dirt after that. That's certainly cool.
Right. Right. So I've tantalized them now.
Yes. You've teased the listeners. Actually, do you want to just go to break now? We'll kind of break early and then come back at the half hour.
But, hey, it's your show. You get
okay.
The call.
Well, now I want to talk about that. And plus, I want to talk about your new article on the Good Men Project about should this gay dad be writing as just a dad instead. That's your new article that's out. But before that, here's a little break from It Matters Radio and Rainbow Brew.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Well, why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So, hey, I want to give a couple of quick shout-outs today to people who are tuning in. I've got Tony in Hackensack, New Jersey. I love saying Hackensack because nobody says Hackensack, but I'm saying it that way. So, Tony, I'm glad to have you here. We've got Wesley tuning in as well. I got Steve in Nashville. There's a new city, I guess. It's Nashville, Tennessee. Next, it's a suburb of Nashville, but Steve in Nashville is listening. I've got Carolee in Long Beach. I've got Troy out of Whittier. Cheryl is in Manhattan Beach. You're just right up the road, Cheryl. Booker is out of Las Vegas. We've got Evan in Virginia. Randy is in Tennessee also. William is in Kentucky. Rebecca is up in your neck of the woods. Scott's back in Ohio. We've got Angela in Costa Mesa. Laura's in Huntington Beach as well. Robert's in Costa Mesa. And the list goes on. So for everybody who's listening live tonight, I want to thank you for being here with the show with my guest co-host, Mr. Rob Watson. So, Rob, do you want to do the setup on what's going to be taking place next year? Because I'm really excited that this is taking place.
Well, we were just talking that, you know, it's like you and I have actually worked together on several shows on my show and your show, and I bring something to the party, and you bring something to the party, and I just miss you, and I'm not talking to you. So we need to do it a little more regularly.
I think that would be a great idea. What would you suggest?
How about, I don't know, a weekly show that we're actually the co-hosts of?
Wow, what an idea. I think that's a great idea. What are we going to call this show?
Okay, that one I'm not sure. I don't know that we reached a conclusion on that one.
Okay, well, here's the deal.
To be fair, this actually was your brainchild. But you had to say yes. Well, yeah, and I probably dropped enough hints about it beforehand, too. So
here's the deal. So I approached Rob because, you know, I'm putting my thinking cap on because we're going to be doing a bunch of new stuff in 2016 with the show. You know, all shows, if they just stay the same forever, you know, they kind of get stagnant and fall by the wayside. So we're shaking it up, folks. One of the things that we're going to do this next year, and I have to figure out a way to do this because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, listeners. I wanted to do a fun segment, not anything that's going to be like heavy lifting on my part, which means that, you know, you're expecting anything serious. But I want to start doing a live call-in or have you write in with problems in your, like, love life or, you know, what should you do about your job or, you know, I got a question about this or I got a question about that. I want you to call in and ask questions. So we're going to have a segment that we're going to be doing on a regular basis. I don't know if we're going to do it every night or if it's going to be once a week. So we're going to be doing – that. I know that. We're going to be doing some different things with the music show. We may be expanding a show or two during the week to a two-hour format. I don't know yet. But what I wanted to do was, you know, I've taken a lot of the feedback that I get off of the Rated G Radio listener survey. The survey is, and I should start putting that on the show page. I don't know why I don't. There we go. So, see, Rob, already you're making the show better. But a lot of the feedback for our Transgender Tuesday with Trucker Patty, she needs a little break right now, so we're just kind of putting that on hiatus. And then Super Gay Radio with Rob Watson, you know, I get so much feedback from you guys saying, oh, my God, that was so much fun, or I learned something new, or I didn't know that, or whatever the case is. So you like it. The numbers are really solid, and they continue to go up every time I have Rob on. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do something on a more regular basis like what Rob does every Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and that's host out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM. And so, you know, I rolled those dice and it came up, you know, sevens. I think that's what you're supposed to say if you're feeling lucky. So I rolled the dice and they came up sevens. And I said, okay, I'm going to send Rob a note. And I said, Rob, what do you think about doing a show like weekly? And he's like, yeah, I'm totally up for that. So I think from a scheduling standpoint, we're going to do it Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Now, if we need to do it at a different time or something, we'll figure that out. But I think Thursdays at 7 is going to be what we're going to start doing together on this new Thursday night show in January. And I think, just to be fair to everybody in the alphabet, we're going to call it Rated LGBT Radio for that night of the week instead of Super Gay Radio. I just like saying Super Gay Radio. That's the reason we call it Super Gay Radio.
Well, you still can. We'll find ways for you to work that in. Garrett, this is a super gay piece.
And then it's a super gay piece on Super Gay
there
Radio. Yeah.
So, no, I'm very excited about it because we're going to expand kind of both our stuff. You know, it's like we'll be artsy and fun, and hopefully we'll get into some kind of gay advice stuff because we bring things to the table from our mutual life or independent life experiences that I think would be cool to share with people. So,
well, you know, because
not that we have all the answers, but we might have some of them.
Oh, we have all the answers. The ones that we don't have, we make up. So we have all of the answers. It's a guarantee.
I know, I'm being modest.
Well, yeah, that's because, okay, so here's the deal. Rob is going to be bringing the very serious and very professional and very very helpful answers, you know, answers that are going to actually do your life good. When I give you advice, it's probably going to be more along the lines of a smartass or, you know, something that might not necessarily be, you know, as helpful as what Rob would do. So we're going to just see how this goes. You know, I've seen other talk shows do this, and every time I hear the format and the people call in, I'm like, this is a hit. I love it. And it's great for those other shows. And for a long time, I've wanted to do something like this. And I was telling my friend Rebecca, you know, Rebecca Fisk, she comes on once a month and does her shows. I said, Rebecca, sometimes I have to just like bite my tongue because we get these people who call in and they ask, you know, because we call them the psychic surfers. And they're not listening tonight because they're off listening to other psychic shows and surfing those psychic shows. That's how it works. And they call in and ask the same question all the time. You know, should I, you know, go with, you know, my baby daddy number one who's in prison, or go with my baby daddy number two who isn't good to me, or go with my baby daddy number three who, you know, or, you know, and it's always something like that where you're like, you need to not be doing any of this with any of these people. They're terrible people, so stop it. You know, the one lady, she keeps calling in and saying, you know, I want my son to move back home with me because he lives with his dad. And I'm just like, he's never moving home with you. You need to get on, you know, whatever this energetic block is you've got in your life, you got to stop it and move on, you know. And, you know, just wanted to, like, you know, through the, not literally, but you just want to, you know, slap him across the face and say, wake up and, you know, fix whatever it is that's going on in real life. Because I want these people to be happy and not so stuck. You know, and so if they're going to ask a question, I'm going to give you a virtual slap in the face and get you unstuck from where you're at and help you move on with your life. And Rob will actually give you good advice. So that's, you know, that's what we're doing. Anyway.
That's very cool. Well, anyway, I actually read tarot cards. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Do you really? I've got tarot cards here.
Really,
we can do, like, tarot readings for people.
I would actually be willing to do that. I've done that over the phone for somebody. And see, here's the thing with me in doing tarot readings is I do them, and I've done them for strangers, and the people that I do them for are kind of like blown away, you know, by the things that I see and I tell them, and they walk away and they're, you know, thrilled and amazed and all that. And because I'm just reading what I get from it.
Right.
I don't know that I believe myself, which is weird. You know, I do believe it, you know, but it's not like an ego thing. Let's put it that way. Like, you know, I'm not going to stand up and say, you know, whatever. I read what I see and what they pick. We find a way that they pick the card, and I read it. And people have just found that it has been incredibly pertinent to what's going on in their life.
Well, and you know, my next door neighbor / friend / author / you know, all around good guy, Mr. Jeff Michaels. Now, this is interesting because you both have some similarities in your past. And I didn't know this about Jeff until very, very recently. For many years, he was actually an ordained minister and, you know, led church congregations and did all of this stuff. And I only knew him as my wacky next-door neighbor, Jeff, who, you know, was able to give me an in-depth astrological reading and who's done a tarot card reading with me on more than one occasion and has given me some spiritual guidance along the way in the last couple of years and was also Tarot Jeff here on Rated G Radio for a period of time. And, you know, that kind of ran its course for him, and so he stepped away from that. But, you know, he's been back on as an author, and he's, you know, a frequent listener and frequent caller. So Jeff tunes in every once in a while, but he actually had me down to his store. This probably has to be easily 6-9 months ago, something. It's probably like back in the spring. And he set me down and set a friend of mine down and did kind of like a tarot card reading workshop with me. And so I got my tarot cards. I ordered them off of Amazon. I got the exact kind of deck that I was supposed to get, and I slept them under my pillow for a week so it absorbs my energy, and, you know, did all this. And I did readings, you know, after the training with him for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 people. And, you know, again, it was just like reading the cards and telling people what it, you know, what you saw on the card based on, you know, what they were going or, you know, what the card said. And they were like, oh my God, that's like so right on. So, you know, you don't know sometimes if it's the gullibility, because I'm gullible, you know, people, you know, if a psychic tells me this or, you know, the tarot card reader tells me that, I'm going to try to find some way to make it fit into my life. But, you know, some of those things, you know, you have as a reader, you have no clue whether or not, you know, what you're doing has any relevance
right,
to the
right.
people. And all of a sudden they're like, holy crap, I just, you know, I took that new job, or I quit my job, or I broke up with my girlfriend, or whatever the case is. And you're like, wow. So I think there's something to it. I don't know what it is, though.
It's funny because, yeah, and it's, you know, it's one thing I can say that it's not for me is, you know, I'm not trying to sell anybody on it. Like, I'm not trying to convince them that I'm doing this, or, you know, and God forbid I wouldn't take money for it. But it's, you know, it is simply, I'm just telling them what's coming through. And a lot of it makes no sense to me. No sense whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so I hand them over to it. So, you know, it's like I'm fully willing for them to go, that makes no sense to me either. You know, this is ridiculous. But they never have. You know, so it's just interesting. I just think, and this goes into what I have picked up from you on spiritual matters is, you know, it's like opening yourself up to the big spirituality, the, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether it's God or you have another name for it or whatever, and letting that inspiration come through you. And it's how I write, and it's how, you know, I think a lot of us get inspired to do different things. And I think when people are looking for self-awareness, that it allows you to be a spiritual mirror for them. And, you know, so I try to give that away if that's needed.
Well, there we go. So, well, you know, and the other thing that I'm not sure if listeners that are listening now from the first time that we had you on get it, but you're also a minister. So it's not like, you know, it's going to be Tarot Rob and Tarot, you know, Tarot Rob is going to be reading, you know, tarot cards or something like this. You actually have a foundation in your background and training. So it's not like anything
right.
that's like
well,
weird.
Well, you know, the funny thing was that I was going to make up a trivia question for the listeners about you and I. We're kind of blowing it now because the question was going to be, which of us is an ordained minister who can marry people? And that was going to be
both are.
Well, that is, yours, I know you knew that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Now it's shut now.
Okay, well, let's pretend we didn't say that. I didn't say anything. We're rewinding like 30 seconds.
We'll find out who really listens to the show. We'll try that trivia question.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's a it's interesting parallel. But we found that out on a show for ministers. We were talking about that, except you had a confession that you actually couldn't do it because you'd want to laugh through the service that you perform.
Well, you know, I just don't really have that much of a serious bone in my body. So doing anything where, you know, you have, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to honor, you know, the marriage of Steve and Steve. And, you know, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff and then we're going to go have cake. That's just not me. So I would hate to do something where I'm going to disrespect or dishonor people who are really taking this quite seriously, because that is not what you would get with a service with me. On the other hand, if you were to marry people, I've got pictures of you marrying people, and it's very dignified, it's so well spoken and so well received, and you just have such an
Oh, I make people cry. I literally it's like I know I'm doing it right when I'm seeing, you know, I've had people almost sobbing. So I go the other opposite end of making people laugh. So
there we go. So that's what you're going to get with us, folks. Next year on Thursdays, you're going to get yin and yang here, and you know we're just going to have some fun. You know, we're probably going to have some set topics, you know, on current events for the LGBT community. We're probably going to have some guests that we'll call in maybe weekly, you know, so we might have a guest, we might not have a guest, because, you know, the fact of the matter is when Rob and I get on the show here, you know, we're 45 minutes into the show and we still had like 12 things that we wanted to talk about. We're not even going to get in tonight. So it's not like we're going to have a shortage of topics to talk about. Oh, we got to get a guest because they can't fill time with good stuff.
We don't
stuff.
Need no stinking guests. Yeah.
No, we don't need no stinking. But if we have guests that we can have on the show who would like to be on, we would love to have LGBT-themed guests that be part of this, whether it's a silly guest or a serious guest. You know, I think, you know, you proved the point, and I'm really – here's why I'm so excited about this is when, you know, and I love all of the guests that are on the show. So they need to know that if they're listening in. I love you all, but I'm also not – you know, looking for any really serious topics, and I'm not looking for any, you know, like Barbara Walters, you know, 60 Minutes type of, you know, Chris Matthews types of interviews. You know, on the other hand, when I listen to Out in Santa Cruz, you bring those serious topics to the show, but you do it in a way that's actually entertaining. And, you know, for the time that you have for whatever particular segment, it's quite engaging. And it's not one of those things that I would find as a turnoff as like hard news or serious stories. You actually make it something that is enjoyable to listen to. So that's the type of thing that Rob is going to be bringing to us, despite the fact that we're going to have a great time doing an hour of radio once a week.
Yeah, so no, I'm very excited about it. I can't wait, but we have to.
Yeah,
you know, I have a total left field thing here. So you were talking about Halloween, you were talking about Christmas, and you know, not doing shows and all that, and talking about Thanksgiving, not doing shows. And the thing that occurred to me for the next album is, you know, you've done your Christmas song. You've done your Halloween song now with the Witch Sisters, and people need to be listening to that right now. We need a Garrett Miller Thanksgiving song.
Well, here's the deal, and I don't think this is new, so I don't think that I've shared this with you. I will tell you that I am in the process of coming up with a new idea for a new album, and the new album will be filled with holiday songs for lots of different holidays. So I'm looking at coming up with fun songs, you know, because doing something that's just super serious just is not me. It needs to be fun, you know, like guess what? It's Christmas time. Fun song. Witch Sisters Halloween. Fun song. So we might have a Thanksgiving song. We might have a New Year's song. You know, probably a Valentine's Day song. Maybe an Easter song, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, 4th of July, you know, but enough to fill up an album. So it might even include like an Arbor Day song, you know, talking about, you know, the old oak tree that we see. But I'm going to be coming up with an album.
And strictly from a marketing standpoint, you know, that's it. What I want it to do is end up having it be placed in, you know, sound engineers' hands in all these movie studios, where it says, "Oh, songs for all seasons," you know, and they can take a look. Oh, I'm mixing a movie about Easter right now. Here's an Easter song. Let's just put that in there. Oh, you know, here's a song about whatever. So commercially, that's why I want to do it.
Right. Well, no, that is a great idea. And there is no other Thanksgiving song.
I know. There's so that, yeah, so I would need to do a Thanksgiving song. So there we go.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. So
let's do this. We've got 11 minutes left, and we have not even talked about your Good Men Project article, and it's the Good Men Project, the conversation no one else is having. So you've got a new article that's out this week, and I read it before the show, and I was really I'm always touched and inspired by your writing because you're a great writer. But you, again, this is why you are here, is because you end up having amazing insights on different topics. So what is this article about, and why do people need to go read it?
Well, it came from a comment of somebody on my Evol Equals is my blog site, and there's a Facebook page of 25,000 followers for Evol Equals. And somebody left a comment on me about, you know, it's like, you know, stop writing as a gay dad. You're, you know, just a dad. Write as a dad. And, you know, I'm not going to do that because of two things. One reason is not really my idea. It was from a friend of mine, Henry Amador, who is also a blogger. And his point was, you know, those of us who are gay dads did not just fall into fatherhood. You know, most of us, there was a huge cycle of, you know, a lifetime of both wanting to be a father, you know, as part of who we were, being denied it, being told there's no way we could ever do it. You know, life changed. We suddenly could and did. We, you know, lived through a plague to get here. You know, it's like we've got the stripes. And so we're going to define ourselves not just as a dad, because our road has been a little different than other dads. You know, so we are gay dads. But the other reason for me is that gay dads in still a large part of our society are maligned. You know, the families are disrespected. They just had this big thing in Omaha, which is going to probably be my next article, where they 1,000 people packed a hall in front of the school board because they did not want LGBT themes to be added in to the Omaha sex education curriculum, which has not been changed in 30 years. And the main difference is that in that curriculum, they might have to mention that they are gay dads. So, you know, I'm going to keep writing as a gay dad until all of that is resolved, all of that is made equal, and then gay dads can just be regular dads and nobody thinks twice. Right now, there is far too much vitriol towards LGBT families. And so I'm going to identify as it. I'm going to be the lightning rod for it. And there are lots of things that are studies being done about it, you know, in terms of a gay dad's brain actually is, they've actually done brain studies that there's a certain thing that happens to a mom brain. There's certain things that happens to a dad brain. And gay dad brains, those things happen all within a gay dad brain. It physically changes our brain. And, you know, so there is a uniqueness to it from that perspective. But that's not why I'm doing it. I am doing it because gay dads need to be visible. People need to know that they know a gay dad. So when they read my stuff and think they know something about me, then they think they know a gay dad. And that's still important.
I agree. And so, and for everybody who is listening to the show, who is listening because you saw the link on Facebook tonight, I've actually included the link to his article on the goodmenproject.com on the link. Now, you all know that once the show is done, I upload everything onto YouTube. So this daily post that's been posted for the last hour is going to go away. So you need to go to thegoodmenproject.com and then check out Rob's stories that are published there all the time. Now, one other thing that people either don't know or is a good thing to remind them of, most of the articles that you write are picked up by national news services like Huffington Post or Yahoo. You've been on the front page of Yahoo News many times this last month.
I do that feed gets picked up there. So yes, I do. It's the other thing that's kind of exciting is a lot of the cable news that don't pick up the articles, but I end up on their radar to come in and talk as a guest. I've been on The Last Word with Lauren Tidal about Michelle Duggar, and I've been on Huffington Post Live about Fred Phelps, and I almost got on, I think it's Chris Evans on MSNBC on, now I'm forgetting who it was that they were having me on, but that one didn't go. That one didn't make the cut for
The fact is that you're on the list of people they want to call when they want to have somebody who's, you know, an authority on things having to do with LGBT issues. And I think that's a great accomplishment in itself.
Which I have to tell you right there, just what you just said, kind of scares me that I'm seen as the expert on Fred Phelps and Michelle Duggar. I really don't want that on my tombstone, okay?
Well, that you have that plus about 8 trillion other things. So I think if that's, you know, if that's going to be what people choose to remember you for, you know, that's okay, because, you know, you have to be remembered for something. So I say, you know, take that, because if they people know for that, then they're going to dig and also see that you have done so many other things. Now, with that, Rob, we're out of time. So just a real quick reminder, we've got Carol Ramsey, she's a psychic. She's going to be taking your calls tomorrow night. The phone lines open up at 6:45 Pacific Standard Time. Call in 15 minutes early. I'm giving you that little heads up and treat now, because the phone line, we will have over 100 people calling tomorrow night. If I know that you're one of the regular listeners here, I'll get you on the show. But call in early, 6:45, the phone lines open up. We'll take your calls. And then on Friday, we've got Halloween. It's the full, blown-out, director's cut version of Halloween, 2 hours of commercial-free Halloween songs, and you'll get the Rated G Radio Top 10 Halloween Songs for 2015. But, of course, make sure to listen to KSCO 1080 AM in Santa Cruz on Saturday night with Mr. Rob Watson. They're doing a recap of the Top 10 Halloween Songs as well, plus a feature on National Coming Out Day. Rob, any last words of wisdom that you want to share with folks before we go to, of course, Witch Sisters Halloween?
Yes, well, I will point out on 11/14, the 14th of November on Out in Santa Cruz, we have a really, really great show with Mark Siegel. My co-host Steph Taylor is bringing him on, and he wrote a book called And Then I Dance, Traveling the Road to LGBT Equality. He has been there from Stonewall all the way through. He's going to be fascinating. And so that is going to be one of those really bookmark shows to
Holy crap, that's awesome.
11/14. Yeah, that is. That I'm very excited about that. So
I think that is spectacular. Yeah, well, people will have to listen. Well, and anytime if you're listening to the show, when Rob posts for whatever the show's going on for the week, I usually share it once or twice. So make sure to check out KSCO1080AM.com. You can do that as well. Or just, and I'm sorry, it's outinsantacruz.com, and you can listen every Saturday night for that. Rob, it's a pleasure. I think we've got you back. Do we have you back one more time before the end of the year? Do I get you back in November sometime?
You do. I don't know that we've set that up. No, I'll definitely be back, but I don't know if we set the date. So.
If we didn't set the date, you're not on. Hold on here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know what? So, everybody, I think this is it. This is the last time Rob and I am going through the book right now. No, wait. You're back on December 17th. You're on the last talk show of the year before our Friday Night Dance Party of December 18th, because that's the last show that we're doing.
That'll be cool. We'll be launching our new show then. So,
So
great.
Thursday, December 17th,
you
that's awesome.
Smart.
I'm telling you. Oh, my gosh. Rob, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to do all the fun programs we're going to do next year. Everybody else, don't drink and drive. Don't drive distracted. We'll see you live on Thursday with Carol Ramsey, psychic. Get your questions in. She wants to talk to you.
What do we have here?
Met three sisters on the beach alone that Friday night. Gathered near a campfire kiln, their fire burned so bright. They each got up and took their turn, looking me up and down. Can we trust him? Can we tell him they would circle round? The harvest moon above was full, but showed their scary smiles. Come sit with us, the three agreed, you'll want to stay a while. Smelled real bad. Drink fast. That is the key. Lamour told of fading stars whose looks laid claim to fame. Under knife now mummified, the plastic surgeon's blame. Hag laughed out and spit a tooth when names began to drop. Like zombies of apocalypse in Hollywood, that's hot. Jinx went next and shed her hex upon some movies made. You can't cast witch without the kitsch their empire soon would fade.
Listening to Rated G Radio.